Selena had arrived early to ensure that. She'd bought her own burner phone today to contact Ivy, giving her the time and place. Nothing more. Gotham City was stirring again. The rich were uneasy, and the underworld was sitting up, paying attention. "Look, look how easy it is," she'd been purring to them these 2 weeks with each robbery. "While you cower and run, look how I make out." Her plan was coming together. Not as fast as she wanted, as she needed, but it was weaving together. Talia would be proud, perhaps even Nyssa. In the muted, cold way both of them expressed such things. She'd often wondered whether the sisters had been born that way, or if they'd had all traces of warmth and humanity trained out of them. Footsteps sounded down the alley. Selena's helmet scanned the approaching person and found nothing. She could see the female figure slipping from the darkness, but the suit's normal feed of intel provided her with more. Heart rate, height, weapons, nothing. And Selena knew. Before the woman fully emerged into the dim light of the alley, Selena knew that it was not Harley or Ivy, but a wraith, a ghoul, sent from the dark heart of the League of Assassins to kill her. Chapter 13. Shrike. Selena had not seen the assassin in months. Nyssa and Talia had dispatched Shrike to Tokyo for an assignment, and Selena had deemed it a small mercy. As the small-boned, beautiful woman prowled out of the shadows, clad in black and her own death mask, Selena remembered why. She wasn't holding guns. No, that wasn't Shrike's preferred way to kill. Shrike enjoyed causing pain, savored it, a sadist with a dagger in each hand. That was how one of Nyssa's most notorious assassins liked to end her targets. Slow, deep cutting, carving you up. Selena had been granted the pleasure of being Shrike's target practice more than once. Of being cornered in a shadowed hallway of the compound and feeling that knife in the assassin's right hand press into her throat as Shrike had purred in her ear, "Where are your claws now, kitten?" Shrike paused about 20 feet away. Selena flicked her wrists, claws sliding free, trying and failing to master her thundering heart, knowing Shrike could detect every frantic beat. Shrike's battlesuit had been modified to fit an assortment of daggers. Her death mask helmet was painted with strokes of bone white, which looked like nothing up close, but from where Selena stood, they formed the face of a skull. Selena calmed her breathing, took in every bit of the alley, the brick walls, the dumpster to her right, the trash piles, the doors and lights. She waited for some explanation for why Shrike was here, why those knives were out. Shrike offered nothing. Absolutely nothing as she hurled one of her daggers right at Selena. Selena ducked, rolling to the side, already avoiding Shrike's countermove, the second knife that the assassin sent her way, anticipating Selena's dive to the right. But Shrike didn't foresee the dumpster that Selena slid behind. The dagger clanked against its side, burying itself deep. Selena had 3 heartbeats to unsheathe the twin short swords artfully hidden in the back of her suit, standard for all League suits. The bullwhip would do nothing against someone with Shrike's training, not unless Selena wanted it chopped into pieces. Sucking in a breath, Selena whirled from behind the dumpster just in time to catch the glint of a third dagger. A swing of one of her blades had the dagger skittering to the side, the reverberations biting through her skin, even with her gloves. Then Shrike was there, 2 longer daggers in hand, slashing low and high. Serena parried one, met the other. A twist of Shrike's foot, and it was hooked behind Selena's knee. Selena spun out of the way, using the momentum of her fall to avoid being gutted by Shrike's left dagger. Not fast enough. Metal screamed, and Selena yanked her head back, narrowly missing Shrike's blade as it instead carved a line down her helmet. Glass splintered in her left lens. Another strike, and it'd go right through. Selena swept with her blade for Shrike's back, but the assassin turned with her, fast as an asp. Calm. Fear will get you killed. Calm your breathing, your heart. Nissa's lessons whispered through her mind, but there was no way to catch her breath as Shrike unleashed herself upon Celina, landing blow after blow onto her swords. Forced to retreat, Celina knew she was being herded to wherever Shrike wanted her, had assessed for herself what would be the prime place to end her. Her helmet's left lens was cracked enough that the vision in that eye was worthless. She might as well be fighting with the eye closed. Shrike used that weakness to her advantage, kept her blows coming from the left in Selena's blind spot, then switching to the right, knowing her concentration lingered on the opposite side. They danced through the alley, steel striking. The longer it went on, the less likely her chance of walking out of this. And Celina had come home. She'd come to this city to do something, and if she failed, Shrike got past her guard. A shallow swipe of a dagger to her thigh had Celina going down. She swallowed her scream, knowing it would draw the wrong attention. But as she hit the filthy asphalt, warm blood leaking through where even the suit's protective material hadn't held up to those daggers, Shrike began her death blow. One dagger, poised to slam right through that broken eyepiece and into Selena's skull beneath. A crack boomed through the alley. It was near deafening with her audio receptors turned high, louder than thunder. One moment, Shrike was lunging for her face. The next moment, Shrike was on the ground. That skull helmet shattered. Blood splattered on the shards. A large axe lay on the ground nearby. A perfect throw. And as pieces of the helmet fell away, revealing the pale-skinned, dark-haired Russian woman beneath, Shrike's face was the portrait of surprise. Celina wiped the blood off the lenses of her helmet as she looked up to the building flanking the alley. A ghostly white, platinum-blonde woman peered down at her, leaning against another enormous axe, a braid sliding over the shoulder of her two-tone motorcycle jacket. Ivy appeared at her side and cringed at the carnage.
"Catfight?"
was all Harley Quinn said as she grinned at Celina. In this hellhole part of town, the loud thunk of Harley's axe against metal wouldn't trigger any calls to the cops or anyone snooping around, which was partially why Celina had picked this place to meet. But now, with Shrike's cooling corpse leaking blood into the pavement, they needed a change of plans. Through the one good lens of her helmet, Celina monitored Ivy and Harley's approach. The former was in her usual green bodysuit, the top buttons of her collar open to reveal green whorls and swirls of some tattoo beneath. Harley strode up with hair in twin braids down to her chest, one side's tip dyed blue-black, the other cherry red, matching her motorcycle jacket. The axe was strapped across her back, shifting with each step, its clacking against the bandolier of knives across her chest barely audible over the thud of Harley's black combat boots. A throwing knife was strapped to her muscled thigh over worn black jeans, and a third was definitely holstered beneath her jacket, judging by the way the fabric bunched.
"Friend of yours?"
Harley asked with a raised brow as she and Ivy halted a few feet away. She studied Shrike, the face forever etched in shock. "No. Never."
"Good throw," was all Celina said, grateful for the voice modifier of the mask, the way it hid the slight tremor as she saw, over and over, Shrike's head crack apart like a melon. Celina pushed the image down, shoved it into a box. Harley didn't pick up the discarded axe lying nearby. Instead, she sized her up, and Celina pretended to do the same. She'd learned enough about Harley to know who she was dealing with, that her aim just now hadn't been accidental, and she'd likely walk out of this alley utterly unfazed by Shrike's demise.
"My girl Ivy said you requested my services?"
Though Harley's voice was sweet, almost childlike, the gleam in her sapphire eyes, anything but. Another one of the girls who this city had made grow up too fast, too hard. Only Harley hadn't found the leopards. No, she'd found the Joker and his merry band of psychopaths.
Selena leaned against the wall, ignoring the blood on it, and crossed her arms.
I heard you were a free agent now. We need a third to fill out our little group.
Harley glanced between Ivy and Selena, the former still grimacing at Shrike's body.
To do what?
Selena ticked the items off on a gloved hand.
Robbery, mayhem, notoriety. What else could a girl want?
Harley tossed the black-tipped braid over her shoulder.
Ivy said you could get the Joker out of Arkham.
The thought of that man being loose made her want to puke, but Selena shrugged.
What about it?
Harley took two stalking steps closer, Ivy on her heels, wide eyes darting between them. Fear for Harley's safety, or fear of this little cadre falling apart?
How are you going to get him out?
Harley's makeup was too light for her skin tone, her eyeliner too heavy. It made her look ill, macabre. Selena pushed off the wall. She'd dealt with enough questioning these past few years, her entire life. She certainly wasn't going to let Harley Quinn start doing it.
Are you in or out?
How are you going to get him out?
As she stepped over Shrike's body, Selena was grateful for the helmet covering her face.
When the time is right, Quinn, I'll tell you.
A hiss.
You think I'm just going to say okay based on that?
Ivy cut in.
I've seen her in action, Harley. If she says she can, she can.
She again glanced to Shrike. A slight tremor shook Ivy's hands as she brushed her red hair back. She'd stood there beside Harley just now, watched Harley hurl that axe with deadly accuracy. Ivy asked, her voice thick,
"Who was she?"
Selena glanced over a shoulder at Shrike and cringed at the pool of blood that was slowly spreading.
I don't know.
She half lied. She knew who Shrike was, but the things that mattered, the vital things, Selena didn't know them. Only Talia and Nyssa did. They locked up the secrets and truths about their cabal of assassins as if they were jewels, more valuable than jewels. Selena faced them once more, bracing her hands on her hips, and asked Harley, with as much cool bravado as she could muster,
Don't you want your own mountain of cash to sit on when your sweet ex-boyfriend gets out? To know you don't have to answer to him, to anyone?
Harley's eyes flashed.
You got something to say about my ex?
Selena rolled her eyes beneath her helmet.
It never hurts to have financial independence. Surely you got into this lifestyle because you wanted something similar.
I got into this lifestyle, Kitty, because it was freedom from everything.
Is that what they're calling anarchy these days?
Ivy casually stepped between them.
It'll be fun, Harley, she said with a charming grin. I need the cash, even if you don't. Think of all the rainforests I could save.
Some edge in Harley's eyes soothed at Ivy's teasing words. An answering smile tugged on Harley's mouth, but she turned to Selena.
You drag me along, you back out of your promises, and I'll make what I did to her?
A nod toward Shrike's body.
Seem like heaven compared to the hell I unleash on you.
Yeah.
Selena snorted.
Fine.
She turned, walking toward the alley exit.
That's it?
Harley demanded.
You haul us here for that?
Yes, Selena said without looking back. I'll provide our targets and meeting spots the morning of.
She waved a hand over her shoulder.
Come dressed to impress.
Harley let out a low growl.
Who does she think she is coming to my town?
You are exactly where I was a few nights ago, Ivy said with a low laugh as Selena continued out of the alley.
Trust me, the feeling passes. You said that the last time we got dollar tacos.
Selena bit down on her laugh as she kept walking away, though Ivy didn't.
I'll never live that down, will I? Never. Not even when we're little old ladies knitting on a porch.
By the time Selena reached the alley exit, their voices had dropped to murmuring. Gentle, sweet words passing between them. Loving words. Tiny, pale flowers bloomed in Ivy's hair like fallen stars. Tucking that tidbit aside, Selena vanished into the shadows. There was no sign of her. 2 hours out here, and there was no sign of her. Luke couldn't tell if that was a good or bad thing. He racked his brain for any sort of alternative for where she might be, but with a city this big, she could be anywhere. His night had been nice enough before now. He'd gone to dinner with Elise and Mark, who bickered with each other the entire time when they weren't asking him about his work at Wayne Industries. He'd even managed to get to his boxing gym for a few hours before that to spar with an up-and-coming middleweight who needed some seasoning. He loved the gym, especially its outreach to at-risk teens in this city. His mom oversaw the charity that funded it, and she sometimes even jumped into the ring herself for a few practice sessions. He often wondered if the joy in her eyes when she did it was the same in his own, whether she might have held her own in the ring if she'd been given the right training when she was young. His temper, his focus, that driving thrum in his blood that pushed and pushed him, all of that came from her. There were other vets at the training hall. One was an army captain who attended his group therapy session. Luke never mentioned therapy at training, and she never really talked to him beyond a quick hello and a nod, but it was nice to see familiar faces from the other parts of his life, beyond the prep schools and galas. The military had been full of people from all backgrounds and walks of life. He was still getting reacclimated to how little variety existed in the upper echelons of Gotham City. Overseas, they'd been too busy fulfilling commands and working their asses off to protect this country to bother with caring about where someone came from. What had mattered was whether the person next to you had your back when it counted. He'd only met a few people in this city for whom he could say the same. He and his mom had been talking for months now about doing an outreach program for vets at the gym. She was already taking meetings with therapists, vets, and boxing pros about how to make it work, and taking meetings with investors and government officials for how to get funding. Of course, his family could fund it indefinitely, but his mom savored this, wrangling companies that made ungodly profits to do something in turn for the community, getting people involved and caring. Standing atop a three-story building at the edge of the dark, glittering band of the Gotham River, dawn still hours away, Luke rotated his shoulders, keeping loose, limber. He was about to turn away from the water, the glowing city around him, when motion caught his eye. Not who he was looking for, but Luke smiled.
Dumping a body in the river. Real original.
The three men whirled as Luke sauntered up behind them, the body landing with a splash off the rotting docks. His suit had a video camera, and he made sure it was recording, marking their faces. The van that they had just driven up, even the body now bobbing in the river.
Should have weighed that package down,
Luke supplied, stalking closer. Two of the men pulled guns and fired. The sound ripped at him, trying to haul him back into his memories, but Luke focused on his breathing, the shift of his body as he rolled to the side, the docks groaning beneath him. Clumsy, panicked shots. They fired and fired, and Luke's suit whirred and then pulsed. A wave of ear-ringing sound rippled out. The sonic pulse stopped the bullets dead. The men fired again, though their bullets fell to the wood, pinging and thudding against the force of the sonic waves. They emptied their clips within seconds. Then silence. The third man, the one who hadn't fired, leapt into the river, trying to swim away. Luke smirked as he got to his feet, surveyed the two men now clicking away on the triggers of their Glocks. The bat symbol on his suit flared, primed and ready to unleash more surprises.
This really isn't going to be your night, was all Luke told them.
20 minutes later, Luke lurked at the edge of the pedestrian overpass, watching as Gordon and his men hauled away the three low-level cronies, including the soaked one. He'd had them tied up in 5 minutes. Less than 5 minutes. He'd waited longer than that for the GCPD to arrive, making sure the murderers didn't escape their bonds. As soon as Gordon shoved the last of them into the police van, slamming shut the door, Luke loosed a long sigh and turned, and found the so-called Catwoman leaning against the opposite railing of the bridge. Chapter 14. Her figure cut a dark shadow against the railroad tracks illuminated below. His helmet's night vision told a different story. A cracked lens now marred the left side of her helmet, and blood. Even with her suit's stealth keeping him from any further readouts, there was no mistaking the organic material splattered over her helmet, her chest, and shoulders. Yet she appeared steady, unfazed.
"Are you responsible for the body they were dumping?"
His words were low, rough. He sized up the weapons on her, two blades sheathed down her back, built right into her suit, that bullwhip at her left hip, nothing else. She let out a quiet laugh.
"No. Whose men are those?"
"None of her business."
"Why are you here?"
"I thought you might be bored, so I came to say hello."
Luke couldn't help but make the analogy, a cat playing with its dinner.
"Why is there blood on your suit?"
"Want a DNA sample?"
"Yes." He hadn't gotten a call from GCPD that anything was amiss, that anyone was down.
"You came to brag about it?"
"I came to give you a little warning."
Luke kept his arms at his sides, in easy reach of his weapons, even though he had the urge to cross them.
"About what?"
he ground out. She was so still. It was an animal's stillness. Even Bruce, trained and lethal, never stood with that sort of stillness, like she might blend into a shadow and never emerge.
"Far bigger players are coming to Gotham."
A chill skittered down his spine.
"Is that who landed a punch tonight?"
As he said it, his suit zoomed in on the damaged helmet, lighting it up. A long, wicked-looking scratch sliced down one side of it, straight through the cracked glass. That had to have been made by one hell of a blade. And a shallow wound sliced across her thigh, the blood caked on too thick to get a glimpse at the skin color beneath. She gave a little nod.
"More are coming."
"At your invitation?"
A pause.
"More are coming," she repeated. "Worse than any of the criminal factions here. More powerful, and with a deadlier agenda. Keep your eyes open."
"Why warn me?" he demanded.
That stillness settled over her again.
"Because this city won't survive them."
"And that's not what you want?"
She looked him over, or he thought she did.
"There are good people in Gotham. Protect them."
It surprised him enough that Luke couldn't think of a reply. Didn't need to. Because one of the cop cars still parked at the docks below exploded, the boom and fire and shouting filling the world. And then he wasn't in his body, wasn't on that footbridge anymore. He was in sand and sun and blood. He was on the side of a road. He was cut up, body screaming, but not as loud as his men, his friends. He had the dim sense of slamming to the ground, of being unable to breathe, of his suit going haywire and sending a frantic feed of internal assessments. Heart rate too fast, breathing rapid, blood pressure spiking. Not here. Not here and now. "That asshole," he heard someone, heard her hiss. In another world, in another life. He had to move, had to get up, had to get air into his lungs.
"You're not hurt."
A quiet observation. He reached for the overpass railing to pull himself up. Tried and failed, his hands shaking so hard that even his suit couldn't stabilize them. He hadn't had a reaction like this in months, and the last time, Bruce had been there to help him get away, but now... A different matte black helmet filled his vision, lifted his head for him. It wasn't a real face, wasn't human. As inhuman as the people who'd set that roadside bomb. The lenses slid upward into her helmet, revealing a pair of shadowed emerald eyes, bright, steady, human.
"A car exploded,"
she explained calmly.
"A device set off by Harley Quinn."
He knew that name. In his other life, new life, beyond the desert, he knew that name.
It was a message, to me. The car was empty. The cops aren't hurt.
Cops. Harley. She scanned his face, the helmet he himself wore, cunning and calm.
PTSD, she murmured.
He refused to acknowledge it. She'd tell the others. This sort of information would be worth a ton of money. Grab her. He had to grab her now and bring her in before she sold him out. She let go of his face and backed away to the opposite railing, limping slightly. A horn wailed through the night. Move. He had to move, had to apprehend her. His body refused to obey, refused to uncurl, refused to stand. She climbed onto the railing, graceful despite the injury on her thigh, as if she had been born balancing on a few inches of steel. And while she stood on the rail, flicking her broken lenses back down over her eyes, she said,
"It does me no good if you're dead. Your secret is safe."
Before Luke could find a way to get his body to cooperate, to get a full breath into his lungs, she leapt. His heart stopped, until the train swept past, barreling toward the tunnel beyond. He spotted her atop it, a lone, dark figure, looking back, as if to watch him, the light from the burning police car dancing on the silver train. As the train neared the tunnel, she smoothly slid onto her back and vanished into the underground. A queen, returning to her underworld. Shadow and light flashed and eddied overhead, the train car beneath her a rumbling, thunderous rocket shooting beneath the earth. Selena lay on her back, hands tucked behind her head, watching the tunnel pass by. She'd meant what she said to Batwing. His secret was safe with her. If League assassins were converging on Gotham City, he was perhaps the only other person who might stand a chance against them, keep them occupied until she'd finished her mission. She knew precisely what they were after, why they thought they could come to claim what was hers. Nyssa and Talia often set their assassins against each other, gave them the same competing missions, to keep them on their toes, to see who might survive. This was no different. Selena wondered who Shrike had pissed off to warrant being dispatched here, if Talia and Nyssa had bet on who would walk away from their fight. They often did. But Batwing's PTSD was interesting. Terrible for him, but an interesting piece of the puzzle. Taking on Gotham City's underworld would no doubt inflict some serious internal scars, but to have his reaction be so debilitating. Whatever he'd witnessed, it must have been. Selena tried not to imagine it, even if he was her opponent. Harley had no clue, Selena was certain, that her little pyrotechnics would trigger that reaction in him. No, the explosion had been a giant middle finger to Selena. She'd probably tracked Selena here, seen the cops, and blown up the car as a warning to Selena not to double-cross her and Ivy. A little indication of what Harley was capable of if provoked. A loose cannon. But one Selena would manage. Somehow. Yet seeing Batwing on the ground like that, shaking, for a moment, she hadn't been on that footbridge. For a moment, she'd been in a marble and gold bathroom, hurling her guts up, a waltz trickling up through the shining floor below. Because what she'd done minutes earlier?
It is a simple movement.
Talia had purred in her ear, resting her head on Selena's shoulder as they peered at the aging, overweight man paralyzed on the plush bed. His eyes, however, were wide with terror as he watched the young woman he'd led up here to his bedroom while his masquerade party went on below.
"You know what he likes to do,"
Talia said, her ice-cold hand wrapping around Selena's wrist, the dagger held there.
Make him pay for it.
Selena had given him a choice, at least in her head she had, a secret, silent choice, to be a better man than his file suggested and not invite her up here, to avoid this moment, to let her find some way to get out of it, to spare his life and convince Talia that it was too risky to kill him. She'd piled up a list of plausible excuses, had been prepared to sneak into a bathroom and trigger the sprinklers, But then he'd invited her here. And when he'd shut the bedroom door, when she'd pretended to study the art on the walls and had used the mounted antique mirror to watch him dump the contents of a tiny vial into the glass of champagne before he handed it to her, he'd chosen his fate. A kiss that had nearly made her gag, had transferred her own drug to the man's lips, into his system when he'd licked his mouth afterward. By the time it had entered his bloodstream, he'd been on the bed, unable to move. Talia had slipped in a moment later, her ivory mask concealing her face. Selena's own half-mask remained in place, black as night. A level below, Venice's wealthiest glittered and danced, the Carnivale revelry soaring toward its peak. This masquerade ball was an annual tradition, hosted here by this man. She'd read his file on the drive down here from the mountains, and as she dressed tonight, preparing her body the way Talia had shown her, adopting the speech and mannerisms, gone was the clawing back street girl. Gone was the sullen, stone-faced fighter. Talia moved Selena's wrist upward, holding the blade for them both. Dim light danced on the steel. No guns, not for this first mission. This right.
The first kill must always be a blade,
Nisa had told her before she left, so she could feel it when she ended someone's life. Guns were too impersonal, too distant. With a knife, she had to mean it, had to be close.
You have practiced,
Talia whispered in her ear, pantomiming the movement with Selena.
Now show me what you learned.
The man's private guards would not interfere. They had been trained to ignore any shouts of pain from this room, to stay away. She knew Talia had picked this target specifically for that, for the victims who Selena had seen one photo after another.
A corrupted lesion on society,
Talia had said, one that had to be excised to cleanse the ruling order, men who were shielded by their power, their money. Talia let go of Selena's hand. The blade remained upright. And Selena reminded herself of those victims, of their faces, their corpses. He likely wouldn't have killed her, not when she oozed money and class tonight, but he'd have given her that drugged champagne, taken what he wanted, and predicted that she would be too ashamed and afraid to speak out about it. The others, they hadn't been given the armor of privilege, lost, forgotten souls that no one would miss or fight for. A cold, rippling sort of rage settled her, spread through her, cracking like hoarfrost.
The system is broken,
Talia had said.
We are its cure.
The dagger did not tremble as Selena brought it slicing home. She made it out of the room, down the hall, slipping past the unaware guards, Talia on her heels. She made it to another hallway, near the back exit of the palatial home, and then stumbled into the nearest bathroom. The small window was open to the night air, the canal a glittering thread, the revelry across the city blending with the music playing below, blending with the sounds of her retching as she fell to her knees and hurled up the contents of her stomach. Talia strode in behind her, silently shutting the door, watching as Selena vomited again and again into the toilet. Talia handed her a pile of paper napkins.
Wipe away any trace and flush. There's bleach in the cabinets below the sink.
Hollow and numb, Selena obeyed. She didn't speak to Talia as she cleaned, as she wiped away any trace of herself. As the last of who she'd been swirled down that toilet and out into the Laguna Veneta, Selena blinked, the train beneath her slowing as it headed into a station. Time to go. She felt distant, far from her body once more as she slid off the car and to the murky tunnel floor below, her aching thigh protesting. She wondered if Batwing would sleep as poorly as her tonight. Chapter 15. Standing atop the shadowed roof of the 12-story Hotel Devon two nights later, her death mask repaired and the shallow wound to her thigh healed enough that walking was no longer painful, Selena surveyed Ivy and Harley from head to toe. They grinned back at her. Pacing a few steps, Selena said quietly, "Where are all the weapons?" They said nothing, their grins faltering.
"Where?" Selena repeated. "Are the weapons I told you to bring?"
They glared at her. Selena glared right back, even if they couldn't see it through the helmet. Nyssa and Talia would have a collective heart attack if any of the League assassins came so unprepared to a job, and then peel the skin from their bones. Selena had seen the punishments doled out for disobedience, done not by Talia, who never dirtied her immaculate hands, or even Nyssa, who relished such things, but by the League assassins themselves, so they realized what, exactly, would be done to them if they similarly failed, precisely the sort of lesson the sisters loved to give. Leaning against the metal door that led to the hotel below, where the Save the Gotham City Landmarks gala was well underway, Harley patted the holster at her waist, the twin colorful orbs hanging there. Strapped across her chest, intersecting her baseball tee that read, "Gotham City Sluggers," a bandolier of smaller ones, no larger than Christmas ornaments, hung as well. She cocked her head, pigtails bobbing with the movement, almost in time with the band playing 10 levels below.
"Isn't this enough?"
Selena pointed with the coiled-up bullwhip clenched in her hand, clenched hard to keep from throttling them.
"I told you to bring weapons, not toys."
Harley took a step forward, her bright red and black boy shorts catching the dim light over the roof door. Her fishnets did nothing to hide the tattoos inked on her thighs, flowing right into her calf-high combat boots. Animals, ranging from a roaring lion to a monarch butterfly, covered her skin. She thumbed free one of those orbs.
"Just wait and see what fun these toys will bring to the boys and girls down there," she said, a wicked smile on her mouth.
They were bombs strapped on her. Small, and likely not enough to bring down any major structure, but disruptive enough to cause some chaos, to make a statement. Selena smirked, irritation fading away.
"I stand corrected."
She turned to Ivy. A utility belt hung at the waist of her emerald bodysuit, those vines again covering her hands. A larger vine of blooming orchids snaked across her middle, as if it were the sash on a beauty queen. Selena lifted a brow beneath her mask.
"No magic flowers tonight?"
Ivy ran a hand over the vine down her chest.
"I thought I'd display them this time."
Clever. A bandolier of the weapons, the botanical twin to Harley's own ammo. Selena hummed.
"You got anything else to fight with?"
Ivy's answering grin was the definition of wicked.
"Maybe."
"I don't operate on maybe."
Ivy muttered to Harley,
"I feel like I'm being scolded by the principal."
Harley snickered. Selena gritted her teeth, even if they couldn't see it.
"Wouldn't this whole plan be easier if I just gassed them?"
Ivy asked, patting the vine across her torso.
"No."
Selena surveyed the pouch at Ivy's hip that seemed to move.
"We want them to know who's doing this."
"Who is them?"
Harley demanded.
"Everyone."
Selena stalked up to Ivy's side.
"What's that?"
Ivy winked at her.
"A little experiment."
Harley grinned.
"Killer vines."
Selena lifted a brow.
"For real?"
Ivy flipped open the pouch, revealing a swirling mass of green inside, twining about itself like a snake.
"Plants can remember, feel things."
Ivy would know better than anyone, Selena supposed. Indeed, a touch of sadness seemed to soften Harley's eyes, as if she realized it too. It faded as Ivy dipped her hand into the pouch, and a tendril of green, hemp-like vine wrapped around her forearm, almost lovingly. Holy crap.
"I raised this one from seedling to what it is now,"
Ivy said, stroking a hand down the vine that curled up her forearm like some living bangle.
"It works like that whip of yours."
a nod toward the bullwhip still gripped in Selena's hand.
Except it likes to squeeze. Tightly.
Harley stroked a finger down the vine, tracing its curls. Selena could have sworn both plant and ivy shuddered, in pleasure. What Nyssa and Talia would give for a weapon like that.
Right, Selena said, surveying the roof door. You remember the plan?
Yes, Mom,
Harley quipped. Selena ignored her.
Bags ready?
Harley and Ivy held up matching duffels.
All set?
The flowers on Ivy's bandolier seemed to shimmer in confirmation, but Harley reached into her duffel and pulled out two ribbons, one red, one black. With deft fingers, she tied one to each braid.
You matched the ribbons to the underwear?
Selena blurted.
You've got the cat costume, Harley drawled, adjusting the bows. I've got my colors.
Ivy chuckled.
Micromanage much, kitty?
Selena chose to ignore that, too, and slung the whip over a shoulder.
Go for the watches over wallets, jewels over purses.
Selena opened the roof door, rotating her wrist to limber it up. Harley's smile was a crooked slash of white beneath her red lipstick.
Talks like a lady, acts like a thug.
She didn't know the half of it. Luke was about to fall asleep mid-conversation. The Landmarks Gala was the worst so far, the music and people and floral arrangements bleeding into all the other parties he'd been dragged to these past few weeks. He'd already searched the faces of every woman here for any hint of an injury, but nothing. No jewelry reported missing, no woman in a battle suit. He'd danced with all the young women who'd approached him, including his neighbor Holly, who'd been just as vapid as he remembered, full of idle snobbery. But denying her a dance for a second time? Not an option. She lived across the hall from him. He didn't want to spend years of peeking into the hallway to make sure she wasn't there before leaving. Not worth it. Perhaps coming to this gala hadn't been worth it either. Hours in, and no sign of Catwoman. Mark and Elise were off at a company fishing retreat in Vermont, and his parents hadn't come tonight. His mom had laughed, literally howled, at brunch when he'd said he'd accepted the invitation. You're in for a night of architects boring you to tears, she'd said.
She was right.
Luke drained his water. He'd driven himself and stayed away from the booze because of it, and to keep his senses alert. But even if he spotted nothing, had no need of the suit he'd hidden in a large gym bag at the coat check, he'd made sure his Porsche had been left out front by the valet, perfect for a quick escape. Not from Catwoman, but from the socialites. Like the two older-looking ladies who had just spotted him across the crowded space. Luke tried to pretend he hadn't seen them, twisting back toward the glass bar. The ballroom was on the second level of the Hotel Devon, its enormous windows overlooking the southern edge of Robinson Park. Honestly, some small part of him was grateful when the wooden doors to the ballroom were kicked open. He had expected her to be there, expected the battle suit and helmet, expected the bullwhip in her hand as she strutted forward, the music halting, people shrieking or falling quiet. But the other two behind her? Shit. Shit. Poison Ivy, clad in an ornate bodysuit, bearing a duffel in one hand and some sort of vine moving over her other arm. Not to mention the gloves on both hands that seemed to be in bloom, or the vine of orchids she wore like a bandolier. And Harley Quinn, clad in nothing but fishnets, boy shorts, and a baseball tee, armed to the teeth with what seemed to be an arsenal of small bombs. Luke hadn't yet had the pleasure of dealing with them, but Bruce had. Through the keen-edged cunning Harley possessed, she'd managed to avoid capture and incarceration while working with the Joker. Bruce had warned Luke of her unpredictable moods and her lethal aim. Apparently, she'd ditched the Joker and his henchmen for more interesting company. As for Ivy, Luke had read Bruce's file on her arsenal of toxins. This did not bode well. Not at all. Everyone in the ballroom went still. No one dared move. Harley lifted an arm over her head, pointing with one of those small, deadly orbs to the ceiling as if she were only stretching, and said,
"Who's ready to party?"
The trio paused near the doors. Luke sized up the obstacles and casualties in their way. As a vet, he could interfere as Luke Fox. He would be expected to interfere. But if he had his suit, he could do more, save more people. It'd take him 5 minutes to slip out to the coat room and return as Batwing. Catwoman snapped her wrist and the bullwhip answered. A crack, wild and wicked, cut through the room. People murmured in alarm, stepping out of the range of that whip. Luke began edging through the crowd. Thank God his parents hadn't come.
"Here's the deal," Catwoman said, her voice low and raspy. "You drop your jewelry, your watches, your cash into the bags, and we don't hurt you."
"Trick or treat,"
Harley said, lifting the empty duffel at her side. Ivy only strode up to a nearby man, a pale purple smoke leaking from her. The man's eyes went glazed, his white face slack, and then he handed over his watch into Ivy's awaiting duffel. His wallet and cufflinks, too. The woman nearest him began doing so as well, her face equally slack. Entranced. Bruce's file hadn't exaggerated. Luke reached the small service entrance just as the crowd began to remove their jewelry and personal belongings in a flurry of glittering gems and flashing gold. He'd bet the security guards were likely unconscious, knocked out by Ivy's cloud of toxins. 7 people stood nearby, a mix of staff and guests, all fixed on the unfolding scene. Luke motioned subtly to them. "Out, out, out," he conveyed with mere gestures. The group wasted no time obeying, ducking low and hurrying through the door. The trio had yet to kill anyone. In fact, they seemed averse to killing those merely caught in the crosshairs. At least they had that going for them. Luke followed the small group of people, pointed them toward the back stairs, and sprinted for the coat room, where the attendants were tied up at their posts with red and black striped zip ties. Harlequin's colors. 4 minutes. He'd be ready in 4 minutes. He prayed all hell didn't break loose before then. Selena's bag was growing heavy as she prowled through the crowd. Where she moved, jewels and watches followed. The security guards remained down in the halls, courtesy of that living whip Ivy had wrapped around their throats, rendering them unconscious.
"Just people doing their job," Ivy had said when Harley demanded why she hadn't made it fatal.
Selena had agreed, earning an eye roll from Harley.
"Wimps," Harley had sneered, then asked Ivy, "If you balk at dealing with them, what are you going to do when it matters? When you go after those politicians?"
Ivy had stiffened, but said nothing. Selena had spoken up in her defense.
"She'll deal with it, just as we are now going to deal with this gala."
Harley had clicked her tongue, striding ahead, but Ivy had given Selena a small, grateful nod. Selena had tried to ignore the slight warmth that kindled in her chest, the answering smile that bloomed beneath her helmet. But now, standing in this ballroom, those were sirens wailing in the distance. She had to get them out of here.
"We need exit music,"
Harley said to the dead silent crowd. She pointed toward the band standing motionless on the stage against the far wall.
"Can I make a song request?"
The band leader was pale as death as he nodded. Selena chuckled, holding her duffel in front of an aging woman she'd chatted with merely 30 minutes ago.
"So good to see more old money here," the woman had trilled.
It had been nearly impossible to keep from throwing her drink in the woman's face. It didn't stop Selena from now being rougher than necessary as she plucked the woman's ruby tiara off her head and shoved it into the duffel. No sign of Luke Fox. Perhaps he'd already left. He'd seemed bored to tears when they'd danced earlier, but perhaps that was Holly's effect on him.
"Don't stop me now, by Queen,"
Harley ordered the band leader as the couple in front of her shed their jewelry like a snake with a second skin. Ivy clicked her tongue, her toxins continuing to leak out and ensnare those before her. They handed over their jewelry without a blink of fear.
"Good choice,"
Selena was inclined to agree, and hid her laugh as the band struck up the song immediately, the piano player missing the first few notes as his hands shook, but then settling into it. The singer was no Freddie Mercury, but what he lacked in range, he made up for with sheer bravado. The audio receptors on her helmet gave Selena an update. 2 minutes until those cop cars got here. SWAT team, likely. Harley was dancing to the music, braids swinging as she bounced through the crowd. Ivy was swaying along too, that vine of hers slithering whenever someone seemed to notice her lack of gun and contemplate attacking.
Playtime's over, Selena said to them, zipping up her bag.
Two echoing zips sounded.
Gimme a drum beat,
Harley ordered the band. And holy hell, the drummer gave it to her. Right as the band paused, the singer putting enough attitude into the lyrics that Selena finally laughed as she faced the enormous windows overlooking the street below and park beyond. She motioned the crowd back against the far wall. Harley hurled one of those colored balls right at the window. A blink, flash, and then glass slid to the floor, shattering into countless shards. Someone screamed. The singer didn't miss a single beat. The band was enjoying it, Selena realized, as Harley whistled and chucked one of those orbs to her. Catching it in one hand, Selena grinned and lobbed it at the chandelier in the center of the room. Perhaps the band was as sick of these rich pricks as Selena was. There was no way of faking that shredding guitar solo, not faltering as the chandelier came crashing down. Blocking access to the open window as Selena broke into a run, Harley and Ivy already a few steps ahead. The two launched out the window, people screeching over the music and crashing glass. As Selena reached the window, the main doors blew open again. Batwing appeared between them, glowing like he'd been freshly forged, arm raised to fire some weapon from his suit. Selena leapt out the open window, twisting as she fell, turning back midair to meet Batwing's gaze from across the room, and give him the finger with both hands. Free fall sang to her for two heartbeats before she hit the awning below, bouncing up to catch the hotel flag jutting out a few feet away. She wrapped her legs around it, slithering down, right into the convertible where Harley and Ivy were already waiting, duffels overflowing with jewels, right into the driver's seat. Batwing reached the window as Selena punched the ignition, popped the clutch, and floored the gas pedal. His roared curse was sure to make some well-bred ladies behind him faint as Selena, Harley, and Ivy sped off in Luke Fox's Porsche. Chapter 16. They'd gone too far. He didn't care about his car. Top down and parked out front all night, keys left in it by the valet. No, that was the least of his concerns when people had been outright robbed and terrified. It didn't matter what level of society these people existed in, or whether or not they could afford to replace their valuables. This sort of thing could not, would not happen on his watch. Luke glanced behind him to the panicked, stunned people still in the ballroom, the band that was now making a quick, guilty exit. He said to the room, to anyone listening,
I'm on this.
She took my diamonds, a woman shrieked, pale face livid. Get them now!
Luke reined in the urge to roll his eyes, reminding himself that he was doing this to protect all of Gotham City as he launched himself out the broken window. He'd haul all three of them into the GCPD precinct, starting with Catwoman. Selena hit 60, 70, 80, the car opening up beautifully as they cruised through Robinson Park's empty, curving road. Her roaring blood was a song inside her, sweet as the warm night air around them. No rules, no barriers, nothing to hold them back. Selena leaned into the feeling, savoring it. Harley was cackling, draping herself in pearls and bracelets and throwing a few over Ivy's head. Behind them, red and blue lit up the night sky. Selena pushed the car faster, the engine a velvety purr rumbling through the trees. They rounded a curve, Ivy oomphing as Harley slid into her, jewels and pearls clacking against each other. Selena checked the rearview mirror, assessing those sirens and how close their lights were in pursuit. A black shadow cut across the sky.
"We've got a bat on our tail," Selena called to them.
Harley and Ivy fell silent, whirling around in the back seat. Harley swore, scrambling for her bandolier of explosives as Batwing soared toward them with his wings. Bat wings spread wide.
"Creative," Ivy muttered, that long, deadly vine at her hip now dangling from her hand.
"His suit is reinforced armor," Selena shouted. "Go for the wings!"
The retractable, mechanical wings that allowed him to glide long distances. A gamble to order them to shoot him down, but telling the women, "Don't kill him," would involve too many explanations and questions. A long strand of opera pearls streaming behind her, Harley unhooked one of those smiling orbs and hurled it toward him with the skill of a pitcher. Batwing swerved, nimbly avoiding the ball as it exploded right where he'd been. If it triggered anything in his PTSD, it didn't slow him. Harley lobbed another one, a third on its heels. Batwing again soared upward, dodging her shots, gaining on them.
"He's still out of range for my vine,"
Ivy called over her shoulder as Selena held the car steady.
"If you hit the brakes..."
Batwing lifted his arm, firing his own shot, some sort of arrow aiming for the back tires. Selena swerved. Harley cursed, slamming into Ivy, whose vine wrapped around Harley to steady her. The arrow went wide, ricocheting off the asphalt.
"This dude needs a major attitude readjustment."
Harley pouted, trying to free herself from the tethers of Ivy's vine. Batwing raised his arm again, preparing another shot to their tires. Ivy pushed Harley off her, her vine sliding free.
"I think you're right,"
Ivy hissed and lifted her arm.
"He's gotten close enough."
Selena couldn't agree more.
"I'll line up the shot for you,"
Selena called to Ivy, taking another curve, then soaring over the small bridge spanning the Finger River, which cleaved Robinson Park in two.
"Face forward and get ready,"
she ordered over her shoulder.
"Seat belts on."
She veered to the left as Batwing fired another steel arrow. Ivy and Harley grinned and saluted before they obeyed. And as they hit a long, straight bit of road, Selena slammed on the brakes. The seatbelt bit into her, even through her suit. Harley swore behind her. Batwing zoomed overhead as they slammed to a stop, exposing his back to them. Ivy unclipped her seatbelt and leapt into the front seat, balancing her forearm on the windshield. Within a heartbeat, she fired two long green vines, spearing through the night, one to the left, one to the right. Explosives and gases Batwing had no doubt expected, but a living thing launching at him? It seemed the element of surprise was on Ivy's side as his wings flared, trying to halt and pivot him. Too late. Both of Ivy's vines hit home, and whatever indestructible material Batwing's suit was made of, his wings were not. The vines ripped through metal and wiring like a hot knife through butter, sending Batwing tumbling toward the towering oaks. Harley whooped, bouncing in her seat as she clapped Ivy on the shoulder. Ivy only grinned, small flowers blooming on her gloves.
"Brilliant,"
Selena breathed, risking a full glance over her shoulder. She found herself answering Ivy's grin beneath her mask.
"Absolutely brilliant."
Ivy sketched a bow, or as much of one as she could in her seat. Still grinning, Selena adjusted the clutch and slammed on the gas, the Porsche shooting like a star into the night. They ditched the Porsche on a side street, then took the subway back to the East End. When Selena stalked out of the car at a graffiti-covered above-ground stop, Harley and Ivy followed. They'd made sure to grab all the jewels from the convertible, the duffels they each bore now zipped up and nondescript. Save for their outfits, people had outright moved off the train the moment the trio entered the car. Whether the passengers had called the cops on them wasn't a problem. They'd be gone before any patrol cars could arrive. Harley had been too busy on her phone to notice, and remained so now, walking down the platform, Ivy steering her out of the way of the steel beams and benches.
"You should see this,"
she declared, pale makeup illuminated by the light of her screen.